Welcome to the April 1st, 2007 morning worship service of College Park Baptist Church. Today's sermon is presented by Reverend Raymond Smith and is entitled, Then Will the Very Rocks Cry Out. If you are in Winston-Salem, please join us for worship and fellowship at 1701 Polo Road. You can find out more about our church at www.collegeparkbaptist.org. And now for our worship service.
Good morning. We welcome you to College Park Baptist Church. My name is Jeff Allen, Associate Pastor of Students and Families. We welcome you to Palm Sunday at College Park Baptist Church. We are so pleased that you have decided to join us for worship this morning. We want to find out who all was here, members and guests alike. There are friendship pads that are on the pew that you're sitting on. We invite you to take those and everyone to sign their first and last name. Not necessarily aliases. You know, we don't necessarily need to know Chuck Norris was here, but, you know, or Elvis Presley, but we'd actually like to know your name, youth. We'd like to know who was there. So if you could sign that, members and guests alike, and fill out all the appropriate information and send it to the end of the row so that everybody has opportunity to sign that. And then if you could send it to back to where it started once it reaches the end of the row. And then we asked the first person who signed your pad this morning, if you just rip out the pages that were written on today and put it on top so our ushers can get that at the end of the service. It is an exciting day to be at College Park. It is Palm Sunday, the beginning of Holy Week. Our journey of Lent has brought us to this day, and it's a day to celebrate, Hosannas. And we want to do that in a variety of ways, including our children's time. We will be having children's time a little bit later in the service after the first hymn. So the children are encouraged to come on down during that hymn and meet Pastor Raymond down front for children's time. Some adjustments to the regular schedule this afternoon you will note on your bulletin. There will be no youth choir, no youth snack supper, or youth online tonight. We are leaving for Caswell in the morning at 10 o'clock, so we're taking a break for tonight. But everything else will go on as scheduled. The handbells will meet. The adult discipleship class will be wrapping things up tonight, and there will be life tonight. So make note of all of those changes. There's a special event this Saturday at 10 o'clock for all of our toddlers through second graders. We are having Extravaganza, which is our Easter egg hunt and a variety of activities this coming Saturday at 10 o'clock in Smith Hall. So we hope you come and enjoy all the many things that we'll have going on that day. It's just a few weeks away from our Deal or No Deal revival. You have seen that publicized in a variety of locations. We have some promotional materials that we would like for you to take and to pass out to friends and neighbors, including a new item, some door hangers that were prepared this week. All of those items are on the welcome desk, and so we encourage you to pick up as much as you want to. We will replace it if we run out, so please do that and plan on Deal or No Deal revival coming up in just a couple of weeks. I think that's it. Do want to say a special welcome to our guests this morning. You have already given us your information, and we have ushers that are coming down the aisles that want to give you some information about College Park. You have told us a little bit about how to contact you. We want to tell you a little bit about the history of our church. So if you're a guest this morning, as the ushers are coming down, we invite you just to raise your hand, and they will give you a packet of information. And so inside this packet of information, you'll find a letter from our pastor, as well as a little bit of the history of our church, including a newsletter that tells you what's going on currently in the life of our church. So we are blessed by your presence this day, and we hope that this hour of worship will be a blessing to you. It is time for us to begin worship. We come together to sing hosannas, to sing God's praises. We join our voices, regardless if we've been a Christian one day or 10,000. We all call on the name of Jesus Christ, who began his journey to the cross. And because we are united in the cross and the resurrection, we come to this place to worship his name. you will find in your bulletin a responsive reading, an invitation to share in worship. This is something that unites us in heart and voice together as we begin our time of worship. Would you stand now for invitation to share in worship? I invite you to read the dark print aloud as I read the light print. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. The Lord is God. He has made his light shine upon us. With branches in hand, join in the festal procession to the altar.
You are my God, and I will
give you thanks. You are my God, and I will exalt you. You may be with me. Father, on this Palm Sunday, we recognize that you are King, and that when Jesus entered into Jerusalem, the same people who would soon call to crucify hailed Jesus as King. Father, we know that Jesus began the week being hailed as the King, and he ends the week as eternal Savior. Help us this day to remember the great suffering, the great pain, the great hurt that occurred. That which Jesus endured so that we might have life and life eternal. Hear us this day as we call him King. Hear us this day as we cry out, Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We worship you this day. In everything that we do, we give you praise and we say thank you. So from the waving of the palm branches to the singing of the hymns, may your name be praised. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
ask the children to come on up. I have to kind of leave the top step empty if we can, because I'm going to show you a couple of things up here, okay? So leave a space right here, okay? Have a seat there, big guy. All right. How are y'all doing? You did a great job with the palm branches, by the way. That was really nice. Yeah, we've got them all up here. We're going to talk this morning just a little bit about pets. How many of you have a pet? What kind of pet do you have?
Sam? I used to have a pet, but it went in the drain.
It went in the drain. Okay. We need counseling for that, don't we?
My pet is a pug. It's a kind of dog, and it snores.
It's a dog that snores. A pug? It snores. Do you have a dog? What do you have, young man?
A dog.
A dog? What do you have?
Two dogs.
Two dogs? Six fish. What kind of fish? Do you know? Goldfish. You don't have a cat, do you? That's good. That's a good thing.
Cat and a bunch of fish.
You used to have three and it became six? That's kind of scary, isn't it? Yeah, okay. What kind of pet do you have?
I had a rabbit.
A rabbit? Oh, okay, allergies. Well, I can show you a pet. You can put your hands down. I can show you a pet that I had when I was about your age that I guarantee you won't have allergies. It's a rock. A pet rock. Now think about it. Before you laugh, think about it. When I was about your age, these were really popular, pet rocks were. Yeah. If you go look in your history book, you can see where they were. Pet rocks, think about it. You don't have to feed them. I mean, what's it going to eat? You don't have to clean up after them? Yeah, that's a definite plus. I mean, you don't have to build a cage. You don't have to have allergies for them. I mean, it's kind of the ideal pet, a pet rock. And it does kind of cool things. Let me show you. Scoot right here. If I look at it and I say, okay, sit. I leave it alone. Sit. See there? And what? Watch this. Watch this. You go, lie down. Here's my favorite. It does this one well. Play dead. Does that roll over? Did you see that? And here's one you have to guess what it is. Okay, guess this trick. You ready? Here we go. No, it's rock and roll. See, it's rock and roll. I need my rock back. Okay, now, here's the one thing that I'm really proud of. It does this well. Speak. Speak. Well, maybe... Can you tell it to speak? Maybe it'll speak for you. It must be with the crowd and all. It must be just a little bit bashful. It normally will speak for me. No, I can't say that because rocks don't speak. They just don't speak. But, you know, in our scripture that we're going to read this morning, a little bit later in the service, as the people were singing hosannas and everything to Jesus on that Palm Sunday, the Pharisees looked at Jesus and said, why don't you tell your disciples, why don't you tell your followers, why don't you tell them to be quiet? And you know what Jesus said? If I tell my disciples to be quiet, then the stones, they can't eat. But he said, the stones will cry out. Now, he wasn't talking about a band from the British Isles. He was talking about the rocks that were right down there. He said, they will cry out. They'll speak. Because Jesus knew it's our job to praise Him, right? We're the ones that are supposed to praise God. The stones aren't supposed to praise God. We're supposed to praise Him, right? Okay? All right. So what I want to give you this morning, I want to give you your own pet rock to take home. Yay, much rejoicing in the land, okay? We're going to give everybody a pet rock. And on the rock it says Luke 19:40. And that's the scripture verse. We're going to read it. We're going to read it later, okay? And every time... It's got your name on it, buddy. That's right. And every time you see that rock, I want you to remember that it's our job to praise God. Because the rocks can't do it, okay? Not unless Jesus commands them to, okay? All right, here we go. Everybody take a pet rock. They're all the same. Just reach in there. Ah, good. All right. Feeding frenzy. Here we go. All right. Everybody get a rock. No, just take one. All right. Here we go. Here we go. Everybody get one and have a seat. All right. Going back to your seats. You have to put one of those back in there. Let's say those out. Okay. Get a rock. Get one. Did you get one, sweetheart? Did you get one? Okay. Y'all can move on back to your seats then. There you go. Everybody get one? Did you get one, Claudia? And adults, if you would like a pet rock, we have a few left after the service. You're certainly welcome to come get one.
Our scripture lesson for this morning begins in the Old Testament, in the book of Isaiah. As printed in your order of worship, we'll be reading from Isaiah 50, beginning in verse 4. Hear the word of God, and specifically the word of the prophet Isaiah, as he talks about the power of God and prophesies about Jesus and the experience that we will later read about in the New Testament and experience and relive during Easter week. From Isaiah 50. The sovereign Lord has given me an instructed tongue to know the word that sustains the weary. He wakens me morning by morning, wakens my ear to listen like one being taught. The sovereign Lord has opened my ears, and I have not been rebellious. I have not drawn back. I offered my back to those who beat me, my cheeks to those who pulled out my beard. I did not hide my face from mocking and spitting. Because the sovereign Lord helps me, I will not be disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like flint, and I know I will not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who then will bring charges against me? Let us face each other. Who is my accuser? Let him confront me. It is the sovereign Lord who helps me. Who is he that will condemn me? And from the New Testament, first in Paul's letter to the Philippians, the second chapter of Philippians, beginning at verse 5. Hear Paul's words to the Philippians and also to us. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And from the Gospel of Luke, in the 22nd chapter, beginning at verse 14. When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table, and he said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, Take this and divide it among you, for I tell you that I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, gave thanks and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. But the hand of him who is going to betray me is with mine on the table. The Son of Man will go as it has been decreed, but woe to that man who betrays him. They began to question among themselves which of them it might be who would do this. Also a dispute arose among them as to which of them was considered to be the greatest. Jesus said to them, The kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who exercise authority over them call themselves benefactors. But you are not to be like that. Instead, the greatest among you should be like the youngest, and the one who rules like the one who serves. For who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who is at the table? But I am among you as one who serves. You are those who have stood by me in my trials, and I confer on you a kingdom, just as my Father conferred one on me, so that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. But he replied, Lord, I am ready to go with you to prison and to death. Jesus answered, I tell you, Peter, before the rooster crows today, you will deny three times that you know me. May God add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. The scripture calls us to confess our sins before God. During Lent, we have discussed, we have shared in time of confession. This morning, let us experience together a time of silent confession. Bow our heads and confess our sins, bring our sins before the Father. As we move into a time of silent confession, now and then I will close us with a prayer. Dear Lord, as the scripture calls us to do, we confess our sins before you. We have read in your word that if we confess with our mouths and believe with our hearts, that we will be saved. We have read in your word and we believe that those of us who have believed in your Son and believed in the promises that he brought to our world would receive eternal life. Lord, it is that promise in your scripture that brings us to you. It is that knowledge of your Son and knowledge of the love and redemption for which he gave his life that we commit our lives to you. Lord, we are sinners, and we thank you for sending your Son so that we would receive a gift that we do not deserve. Lord, as we consider this gift this week and the power of your redeeming love that is greater than all of our sins, Lord, let us experience that gift, consider it, let us live that gift and display it. And let us share that gift with others so that they may also understand this incredible, incredible sacrifice that your Son made for us. It is in his name that we pray. Amen.
Pray with me. Our Father, we thank you and praise you for sending your Son to die on the cross so that we might have life. We praise you for your love and for your for forgiving our sinfulness and our frail efforts to serve you. This wonderful Easter season, we're so thankful for your word and the blessings that we have received from reading it recently. It has truly helped us focus on you. Help us to share the good news in your word with others, that Christ died for us and that he loves us unconditionally. Lord, help us to be worthy examples to others and a worthy servant for you in our giving as well as in our serving. Now we pray that you would use these meager gifts that we return to you in the furtherance of your kingdom here on earth. We love you and want you to lead us in service for you. In the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen.
Thank you.
Then will the very rocks cry out. How many of you had a pet rock? Did you? I did. I really did. I wasn't telling a fib. I had a pet rock. Lived on top of a mountain and had a pet rock. Something strange about that. But Palestine is filled with stones. Palestine's filled with rocks. Jesus had a lot of contact with rocks and stones during his ministry. He walked on them. He sat on them. He prayed on them. He wept on them. He even bled on them. And if those stones that had contact with our Savior could speak, if the rocks could speak, what kind of stories would they tell? Well, this morning, we're going to visit a few places. Say, four places we're going to visit and see what may be the stories that the stones would have told. The first stop begins in Matthew chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, and those would be the stones on the Mount of Temptation. It reads like this. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." But Jesus answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." So if the stones could give us an insight, if they could speak, what would they tell us? They would say perhaps that the lesson taught by Jesus here is that if you want to resist the temptation of the devil, of the tempter, you'd better know Scripture. Because short of God's intervention, there is nothing more powerful than the Word of God spoken by the power of the Holy Spirit through the mouth of a believer. So spend time in God's Word. Know what it says. Know how it applies to your life and use it to shape your thoughts and your actions and your attitudes. I think that's what the stones in that passage would say. Stop number two. We're going to skip over to John chapter 8, verse 7. The stones there, I think, would speak of God's forgiveness. Because the verse reads, "So when they continued asking him, he raised up and said to them, 'He who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first.'" Now, picture this in your mind. An angry crowd had gathered, and they pushed this woman that was caught in adultery out to the edge of town. And then they looked at Jesus, and they said, "Jesus, the Mesozoic law requires that this woman be stoned. What do you think?" Each one of them, as Jesus is there, begins to reach down and pick up a stone from the ground. They look at him, and Jesus' response is he's writing on the ground. He's just writing on the ground. Now, they're gripping the stones tighter and tighter. Quite honestly, they just can't wait for this thing to get started here. And Jesus looks up, and he says, "Let him who is without sin, go ahead. You get to throw the first one." Then he squats back down, starts riding on the ground again. Now, all of a sudden, you begin to hear plump, 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 plump. All those stones being dropped. Jesus looks up, and he sees the woman. He says to her, "Where are those that accuse you? Has no one condemned you?" She says, "No, Lord, not one." And Jesus said, "Neither do I." And of course, he was the only one that could have thrown a stone. And he looks at her and says, "Go and sin no more." The lesson learned here, if the rocks, the stones could speak to us, I think they might say, you know, there's no condemnation in Christ. All of us have messed up. All of us have sin in our lives. We've all sinned. We need to admit it, confess it, allow God to forgive us, and start fresh. Third stop. The next stone we need to consider is John 11, beginning in verse 38. John 11, beginning in verse 38. "Then Jesus, again groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. And Jesus said, 'Take away the stone.' Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, 'Lord, by this time there's a stench, because he's been dead for 4 days.' And Jesus said to her, 'Did I not say to you that if you would believe, that you would see the glory of God? They took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you've heard me. And I know that you always hear me, but because of the people who are standing, I say this, that they may believe that you have sent me. And now when he had said these things, he cried out in a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And then he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes and his face wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. If that stone, that large stone could speak, what would it say to us? I would guess maybe that it would say that God has the power to raise both the spiritually and the physically dead. He can take a life that was ruined and he can restore it. There's nothing impossible with God. Amen. Our fourth stop is our text for today. It comes from Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19, beginning in verse 37. Luke 19, 37. And when he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Now some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, Teacher, rebuke your disciples. I tell you, he replied, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. Now, the stones finally get their chance, you know. If they could talk, they would say, "Yoo, okay, all right, our big chance. We've sat here without a word for thousands of years, and now we get to speak up and tell our story." And the first question that comes to mind, you know, we're talking with the children, you know, can stones really talk? Now, if God commands them to, trust me, they'll speak. And the human side of us wants to ask that question. And as usual, it's the wrong question. The better question is, why would we want to be silent? Why would we allow the Pharisees of our day, the political correctness, peer pressure, anything instituted by man, why would we allow any of that to keep us silent? Because our job, our joy, is to cry aloud. In verse 38, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. It's our joy and our job to praise God. It's not the stone's job to do that. Well, you know, stones have plenty of other useful functions. Okay, they make great pets for all the reasons we've already discussed. But it's not their job to cry out praise to God. That's our job. The purpose we were created for is to praise God. Jesus tells us in verse 40, though, Luke 19, 40, says on the little stones, if we don't do it, then he will cause all of creation, even something so inanimate, so cold, so unfeeling as a stone to cry out. That's what he said. If we allow ourselves to be silenced, then the rocks will cry out. And how about the timing of this event? You know, all this is going on, but look at the timing of this event. It says there in the NIV, if you're looking at the Pew Bible or have NIV, beginning in verse 28, there's a little caption there. Mine says, in the NIV, it says the triumphal entry. All right? This is the triumphal entry. Jesus is experiencing what we call the triumphal entry. But he also knows in his mind what's going to happen. He knows what this week holds for him. He knew how he would be treated. He knew what his followers would do. He knew of the impending betrayal. He knew of the desertion of those who just a few hours before would swear that they would never leave him. No, Lord, no, not me, huh? He knew all that was going to happen. And not since the creation of the world would we experience such an important week. You see, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and he did all of that in a week. Well, actually, he did it in 6 days. And now, during this week, in the first holy week, if you will, creation was going to be made right with God. Salvation was going to come to humanity. But if we want to passionately re-experience Easter next Sunday morning, if we want to do that, we need to begin with Palm Sunday. We need to begin our Holy Week journey today and go through Thursday and go through Friday to get to Easter. On that day, many years ago, that we call Palm Sunday, Jesus entered Jerusalem. He took it all in, you know, for what it was and also for what it was not. Okay? He heard the hosannas, true. He saw the mass of people, and I suspect he saw every single one of them individually. He felt the palm branches that were being placed before him and waved. He smelled the scents of Jerusalem. You know, he tasted the sweat was running down his face, and he discerned what was in the heart of every single person there. He took it all in. He entered Jerusalem because he knew that by entering Jerusalem, there was no turning back. He knew what they were up to. The social crowd, the political leaders, he knew what they were up to. He knew they were going to try to kill him. He knew that. Everybody knew that. But Jesus didn't flinch. Forward was the only direction that he had to go at this point. Knowing the decision would cost him his life, he went anyway. And he would say, why would he do that? I'll be honest with you, I don't understand it. I know why he did it, but I don't really know why he did it. You see, he did it so that humanity could be restored to God, to where we could have atonement, to where we could be at one, at one-ment with God. That was his purpose. But how many of us could have done that? How many of us could give ourselves for people that were trying to kill us? As he entered Jerusalem, he walked kind of a thin line between laughter and tears. You see, the crowd was there and they were screaming. They were praising. But I would suspect they were yelling praises at him. I'm not sure all of them were yelling praises for him. Their hosannas and their hallelujahs may have echoed just a little bit hollow down the streets. You see, Jesus cried within himself because he hurt for the people. But yet, there had to be a little bit of laughter. The joy of resurrection and what he knew would come. There had to be that laughter of hope. Because all of his suffering would come to a saving for humanity, salvation for humanity. So with tears and laughter, I think Jesus began that week. He'd made all the prior arrangements. Jesus was ready to enter. He entered on a colt, riding on a colt as they shouted hosannas. A colt, so that Zechariah's prophecies would be fulfilled. He entered on his own terms. He would not let the crowd dictate to him how he would enter. He would not allow himself a militaristic entry in a chariot, for example. He would not allow himself to enter as a political leader, astride a great horse, with all his disciples riding horses, great steeds behind him. No. He entered on his own terms. And for the 100,000 plus people that had gathered there, you know, he had the presence to see each of them individually. Yet at the same time, as they looked upon Jesus, one of the questions that must have been in their mind is, I wonder why he came. Doesn't he know what the rumors are? Doesn't he know the threats on his life? And if he came, they knew they'd be ready. They had their palm branches. They were waving the palm branches, which was ironically a symbol of rebellion against political oppression. They saw him as a savior coming to deliver them from political oppression. And they went out and they cried to him. They shouted, Hosanna, Hosanna. Now, originally, Hosanna was a Hebrew invocation. It was addressed to God, meaning, oh, save. If you go back to Psalm 118, verse 26, Hosanna, oh, save. They wanted someone to save them. They were thinking politically. Jesus had something completely different in mind. As we shout Hosanna to God, what do we want Him to save us of? Sometimes we have one thing in mind and God has something far better in mind. I don't think the disciples, I don't think the people that gathered there, I don't think the people lining the streets, I don't think they really understood what they were seeing. They really didn't get it. Soren Kierkegaard was a great 19th century Christian. He said that life is lived forwards, but it's understood backwards. See, it's only by experiencing life that we really can know life. It's only by loving that we know what love is. And it's only by trusting God that we know what trust is. It's only by believing in Christ that we can truly know Christ. So only after experiencing Christ's resurrection, then recalling the earlier events, did the disciples really grasp. They began to grasp what Jesus had been up to all along. He had explained it to them. He explained it to them. But they had to experience the explanation. Unfortunately, we still have to do the same lesson, don't we? A lot of times we have to experience it before we really understand what God's up to. Because to believe is to experience God. There were people there that came, and verse 37 says it. The whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all of the what? The miracles they had seen. They were curious. They showed up because they were curious. They hadn't really experienced Jesus Christ yet, but they had seen His miracles. So they show up. Now, curiosity is not the same as belief. But curiosity can lead us into the presence of God where we can experience His love and His mercy and His compassion. They're not synonymous, but they're related. Some that showed up on that day, they were curious. And then they fully embraced Jesus and who He was. There were others that showed up that day who were curious. They froze in fear and they refused to accept Jesus as who He really was. They had an expectation of a political leader, and He had come to give them life eternal. If we want to allow creation to continue to do what it does best within its proper function, then we're the ones that have to praise God. God, the Creator, created us to praise Him. He created us to praise Him so others who are curious can come to belief. And if we want a model for how we can praise God, lift our voices in praise, I would suggest that we look at some of our readings from this past week. Our 90 days of focus have completed in terms of our reading. And you read this week. It comes from Revelation chapter 4, beginning in verse 6, the second part of verse 6. It's John's account of the revelation that was given to him. It says, and in the center around the throne were four living creatures, and they were covered with eyes in front and in back. The first living creature was like a lion. The second was like an ox. The third had a face like a man. The fourth was like a flying eagle. And each of the four living creatures had six wings and was covered with eyes all around. And under his wings, day and night, they never stopped saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Whenever the living creatures give glory, honor, and thanks to Him who sits on the throne and who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before Him who sits on the throne and worship Him who lives forever and ever. They lay their crowns before the throne and they say, you are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being. And in chapter 5, verse 11, then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands, and 10,000 times 10,000. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice they sang, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that's in it singing, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever." The four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshiped. We were created to praise our Creator. That's not the stone's job. By the way, I didn't tell you the story of another stone that's in the New Testament. I suspect we'll kind of take that up next Sunday morning, okay? Let's pray together. Dear Father, we thank you for the chance to come to worship and to praise you. Forgive us when we are bashful. Forgive us when we are embarrassed. Forgive us when we let the Pharisees of our days rebuke us. Father, give us the courage and the strength and the power to praise your name unashamedly. Father, we thank you for your word, how it teaches us, how it corrects us, how it encourages us. We pray that we would leave from this place encouraged. Encouraged that you've given us the privilege of praising you. You've given us the awesome joy of praising you. Father, may we do so. In your precious Son's name we pray. Amen. We begin Holy Week, and as we begin Holy Week, I can't think of a better opportunity if you're not a believer. Maybe you're curious. Curiosity brought you to this place this morning. I hope that you've experienced the presence of the Holy Spirit. You've been brought into the presence of God, and now you would like to believe, you would like to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. If that's the case, I'd be glad to talk with you, lead you in a prayer that could settle that matter once and for all. Maybe you're here this morning and you're saying, I've allowed myself to be stifled. I've allowed myself to be silenced and be rebuked. Maybe you'd like to confess that to God and just settle that and ask that God would give you the courage to praise Him unashamedly. Maybe you're here and you would like to join this fellowship. We welcome members and be glad to talk with you about that. Maybe you're here and would like to come to the front and pray. Pray that the Holy Spirit would be free to move in this place, or come and pray about one of those matters that we've already talked about. Whatever your decision is, we invite you to come and make that public as we sing together now. please remain standing for our benediction.
This concludes this week's podcast of our worship service. Thank you for joining us. We would love to hear from our listeners. Please send our pastor an email at raymond@collegeparkbaptist.org. That's raymon@collegeparkbaptist.org. Or call us at 1-336-768-5870. May the peace of the Lord be with you in the coming week.